Okay, hey William, hey, how you doing? Hey, this is another chapter of the Solar Hat. It's been taking me a long time because I think and think and think about what to say next and what's going to happen next, and it just comes to me. So this chapter is chapter 7 of the Solar Hat. It's Snared by the Recovery Team. Yes. Well, to finish up, in the last chapter, where Squeaky Toy gets an upgrade. Remember, he got an upgrade and he got all these sorts of things put in him. He got more memory. He got more thought thinking power. He got a bigger battery. He got all sorts of communication equipment. And we left him unloading inside of Solomon Cuttlefish's garage, his lab garage, where he was uploading all of the software for Mr. Ningyoshi's laptop, Professor Ningyoshi-san. And they went to eat and had dinner, and that was where I ended the story. But meanwhile, Mr. Kamakura-san called his boss, he's the big boss of N squared RT, and Kusumono-san. And Kusumono-san was livid that he hadn't gotten the robot. Livid! Oh, livid! His face was red, his hair was standing on end, his ears were sprouting sparks and lightning, and he was so mad he called his head of the robot recovery team, Mr. Ganji-san in Japan. And he got on the phone and he yelled at him, "Ganji-san!" Ganji-san said, Yes, sir, Mr. Kishimoto-san, yes, sir. Ganji-san, I need your recovery team." Oh, well, Ganji-san had a recovery team out in several different places. He had a recovery team in Indonesia, recovery team in Russia, recovery team in China. They were recovering robots. Oh, William, I have to tell you, they were calling it recovering robots, but they weren't necessarily recovering robots from N squared RT, Mr. Kusumono's robotics company. They were stealing robots. And they were stealing robots for Mr. Kusumono-san's company to take apart, to reverse engineer, to see how they were made so they could make others cheaper, faster, and corner the market. Oh, it was a nefarious plan. And he had recovery team ninja everywhere. Now, when I say ninja, I mean ninja. These were real ninja. Some of them had long knives, some of them had swords, but they generally kept them at home. And all of them knew how to climb and jump and scale and fight and be nasty and be mean. And they all had tattoos where you don't want to see them. And they were all ninja. And they all were loyal to Kusumono-san and NTR's N squared RT. So Kanji-san said, "Okay, I need to make up a team." So he asked Kusumono-san, "Mr. Kusumono-san, Mr. Kusumono-san, how many robots do you want captured?" Kusumono said, "One, just one." And Kanji said, "That's all? That's all we have to do is just one?" Then Kusumono said, "Yes, but it's a Ningyoshi robot." Oh, Kanji-san was gazed. "As a Ningyoshi robot that you can capture? Yes. Oh, Kusumono-san, I will do it." Well, then Ganji-san got on his super phone and he started texting different members of his recovery team. And he selected three. Oh, he selected three of the meanest, three of the nastiest, three of the most efficient, three of the craftiest ninja recovery team you could think of. First of all, he got Imi-san. Oh, Imi-san. Imi-san was just a sneaky little guy, and he would do anything he was told by Ganji-san, even to crawl into any place that you wouldn't think he could go and steal a robot. And then he got Hidoi-san. Oh, Hidoi-san looked like an old man. Hidoi-san looked like, "Oh, Grandpapa, let me sit you down and get you something to drink. You must be thirsty." Bah! Hidoi-san just looked like that, but he wasn't. He was strong, he was smart, he was agile, and he was ruthless. And Hidoi-san had a special tool. It was a cane. It looked like a cane. He walked on the cane. "Oh, my back. Oh, I need to walk." He'd walk along. But it wasn't a cane. It was a robo-taser. And a robo-taser would shoot electricity into a robot. And the robot would stop. And that's how they stopped robots and captured them. And then finally, there was Usatsuki-san, or just plain Suki-san. And Suki-san, well, she looked like she was the sweetest little thing under the earth, oh, under the sky. She just had peach blossom cheeks, and she looked so cute, and she was so gentle and mild and meek, and she wasn't. She was brutal. She was ruthless, too, and she could get things done in ways that no other person could, and she liked to steal robots. So Kanji-san called him up and said, I need you here. I need you in Tokyo tomorrow. But, we're working in Indonesia and Russia and China. No, you're working in America. Come here tomorrow. And you know what they did? They dropped what they were doing, or they gave them off to other ninja recovery team members, and they all flew to Tokyo. And then Ganji-san said, here, I've gathered some information for you, and you can find this robot. And he sat them down, and they spent a day looking at pictures of Ayutsuri Ningyo robot. Well, first of all, they started with Mr. Nigiyoshi-san getting his award at the All Robotics Conference, and then displaying Ayutsuri Ningyo robot, the cute little robot we know as Squeaky Toy, in his red coveralls and his happy little smile. And then they had a picture of him giving them to Professor Talltail. Oh, Professor Talltail. They all wrote down in the notebook, Talltail, Professor Talltail. They wrote it down, and they found out his address in Carnatune. Oh, and then they saw other videos. And this is a video of little Ayutsuri Ningyo robot in the toy shop of the toy shop witch. You remember when they shot pictures of the little Ningyo robot, and they went around the world as pictures of a robot in a toy shop? Oh, they looked at him again, and they said, oh, in the toy shop. And they took notes there. Oh, we can go to the toy shop. Oh, that's it. We can capture him there. And then Mr. Ganji-san said, okay, we have a car for you at Redsoft. You just have to get to Skedaddle Airport and then get yourself in a taxi. We'll pick you up. You don't even have to take a taxi. We'll send a driver. We'll take you over to Redsoft, and you go to the warehouse at Redsoft. You know where it is. That's the N2RT warehouse. And then at the warehouse, we have a car waiting for you, and you're going to go to Carnatune and get that robot. Oh, they were so excited. Yes, yes, this looks like a great bag. This is a great capture. We'll get stars in our memo books if we do this. Yes, and so they all got plane tickets and flew together to Skedaddle. And when they got off the plane, they looked like an old man and his daughter and maybe his little nephew, who looked like he couldn't do anything, but couldn't even light a match. He was kind of so clumsy. And his little daughter was so sweet. And she said, oh, hello to everyone. And he, the old man, was, oh, my back hurts. And he stumbled along. They looked like just inoffensive little old people. But they weren't. And they were picked up at the airport. And they were driven to the N2RT warehouse. And there they got a car. Well, this car was nothing you'd ever remember. It was an ordinary look-alike. It could have been a Toyota, a Honda, a Ford, a Chevy. I forget. It was kind of gray with you know, chromium trim. And yeah, I forget. It could have been. Oh, and nobody would remember it. And that's the way they wanted. But inside, under the hood, was a super 12-cylinder an electric chaser engine. This was the fastest engine ever made, and it was driven by robots. So they didn't even have to drive. They just told the robots, go back to Redsoft, and the robots would go. Or they'd say, go to Carnatune, and they'd go to Carnatune, and they could sit back and make plans. And then the trunk, it had a big old trunk. You picked up the back hood, and you opened it up. It wasn't any old trunk. It was a lead-lined trunk. There was lead all through it. So if they threw a robot in, the robot couldn't communicate, couldn't have any signals, couldn't get out because the lead would stop every signal. And it was made for recovering robots, which is what they called it. But you know, recovery was far from what they were doing. And they drove out to Carnatune. Well, when they got to Carnatune, it was Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever day it was. They looked around. They went into a real estate office and said, we're looking for a house. We'd like to see a house. The real estate agent said, oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Mr. Imi-san, yes, we'll take you around. Oh, Mr. Hidoi-san, oh, yes, come with us. We'll show you a nice little house. Is it for all three of you? Yes, we're a little family and we need a house. And so the real estate agent drove them all through town, showed them all the houses for sale. And they looked and looked and looked at the roads. They found out where Professor Talltale's house was. They looked at where the empty houses were. They said, oh, thank you. We'll be back tomorrow to look for some more. And they took off. They didn't see a robot. The next day they came back again, drove all around town. Didn't see the robot. No Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. What is this? What are we going to do? They started talking to each other. Maybe we'll have to break in to Professor Talltale's house. Maybe we'll have to burglarize the house at night. I wonder if we start a fire, everybody will run out and we can go in and we can get the Ningyo robot. Oh, what can we do? And they had all these plans like this, all these mean, nefarious, ugly, wicked plans to get little squeaky toy robot. Well, meanwhile, after they had done the whole upgrade for squeaky toy, it was Sunday morning, and 3T got up and said, oh boy, can I play with squeaky toy? And Mr. Nagyoshi-san said, no. It's going to take me at least a week anyway. I have to work with him. I have to train him. I have to bring him up. We've installed all the software, but he doesn't know how to use it. We have to start doing the slow uptake and integration of the software so that he knows what he's doing with it. And 3T said, huh? What do you mean? Well, 3T, if you had a video game, you wouldn't just start using the video game, would you? 3T said, yeah, I would. No. You'd have to learn how to do it. Oh, but video games are easy. I can do them all the time. They're easy to do. I know that, Mr. Ningyoshi-san said, but you still have to learn how to do it. And if you had to do something harder, like what if you had to write a paper in a brand new word processor? Oh, I hate writing papers. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, well, what if you had to do math in one of your math software programs? Oh, I hate math. I don't want to do math. Mr. Ningyoshi-san looked at 3T and said, 3T, what do you mean? 3T said, I hate doing homework. I don't like it. It's no good. It's not fun. And it takes time away from what I want to do. Mr. Ningyoshi-san said, 3T, what do you mean you don't like doing homework? Homework is important. Homework is that you can keep practicing what you learned at school. Oh, 3T was like, I don't learn anything at school. Oh, school. School is just a waste of time. I'd rather be playing basketball or riding my bike or doing something like that. Mr. Nagyoshi-san said, oh, you like basketball? Yes, I like basketball. Well, what would you do? Oh, I sit there and shoot hoops all day and practice my shot so I could put it in the hoop all the time. That'd be good. Oh, said Mr. Nagyoshi-san. But don't you feel the same way about, say, math or English? That wouldn't it be great to practice doing math problems so you're really good at it and you can do math all the time? Oh, I hate math. I hate my homework. Oh, I do it. At this point, Professor Talltale walked into the room and he rolled his eyes. And he said, oh, Professor Nagyoshi-san, 3T is so difficult. He won't do his homework. I have to make him and get mad at him. Oh, I don't like it. 3T looked at Mr. Nagyoshi-san and said, Professor Nagyoshi-san, once you finish with Squeaky Toy, can he do my homework? Oh, Mr. Nagyoshi-san laughed at that. He said, he probably could, 3T, but you know what? Now that I know, I'm going to program him so he won't. Oh. 3T wasn't happy about that. 3T said, no, I need to have somebody do my homework because I don't like doing homework. It's no fun. So Mr. Nagyoshi-san said, well, that's interesting. If basketball is fun, you do it. And if homework isn't fun, you won't do it, right? Yes. Well, what do you think you'll do in life then? I mean, after all, you're not going to be 11 forever. You're going to grow up at some point. What are you going to do in 10 years when you want a job? And 3T said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll drive a chili truck. Because those guys that drove the chili truck, they were cool. They were cool, and they sold all those chili dogs, and they made a lot of money. And Mr. Nagyoshi-san said, they made a lot of money. Oh, and that's what you want to do, is drive a chili truck? Well, Timmy Tommy Toby hadn't thought about this. He was just, oh, yes, I want a chili truck because I don't have to do homework then. Mr. Nagyoshi said, well, what do you think you'll make on a chili truck? So Timmy Tommy Toby said, I'm going to make $1,000. Oh, $1,000 selling chili dogs? Yeah, I'll go to like a baseball game and I'll sell chili dogs and make $1,000. Mr. Nagyoshi-san said, oh, that's cool. You know, that's a lot of money. Are you going to have anybody helping you out, or are you going to do it all at once? Timmy Tommy Toby thought about it. He said, well, I'll have Curtis help me. Curtis will help me. Curtis will come and work with me. We'll do chili dogs together. Oh, said Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. Well, what are you going to pay Curtis? Oh, well, we'll split the money then. Oh, so you'll make 500. Yeah, but that's good. That's a lot of money. We'll make $500 and we'll have a good time doing chili dog. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, oh, wait. Well, where are you going to get the chili dogs? Well, I'm gonna buy them. I'll go to Publix and buy them. What about the chili sauce? Well, I'll buy that too. Well, what about the rolls? Well, I'll buy those too. Well, how much will that cost? I don't know. Well, you're going to have to put that money up, aren't you, before you make any money? Yeah. Well, what if it costs you $100? Okay. Well, then, that's $100 less you make. You won't make $1,000. You'll only make $900. Let's see. What about gas? What about... Oh, he kept asking questions like that and driving 3T crazy. 3T was saying, I don't know. I don't know how much it'll cost. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, so... I just wanted to point out that even driving a chili truck, you need to know your math. If you don't know your math, you'll never make any money, and you'll drive a chili truck forever without making money, and that won't be good for you, will it? Well, you're just making me feel bad. Well, Timmy Tommy Toby now is retreating into being a little bit younger than he should be. Mr. Nagiyoshi said, no, I'm not. I'm trying to tell you why it's important to learn math and learn how to do calculations and think this stuff through. Then Mr. Nagiyoshi-san pulled out his final argument. He said, by the way, I live in Tokyo. And 3T said, yes. And we don't have chili trucks in Tokyo. We have sushi trucks. Oh, said 3T. Well, I could drive a sushi truck. I said, no, said Mr. Nagiyoshi-san. No. Nobody drives a sushi truck in Tokyo. They're all self-driving. Huh? They have computers. They have little robots that drive them around the streets. And when they get to a corner, they stop, they open up the side window, and guess who's at the side window? Who, said 3T. Another robot. And the robot sells you the sushi it has on the tray. You just put the money out, the robot picks it up, gives you the sushi, and it's done. And when it's out of sushi, it goes back and picks up another load. And there's no humans. So 3T said, but, so Mr. Nagiyoshi-san said, so you want to drive a chili truck in 10 years? Oh, you won't. There won't be a job for you. Do you want a job? Well, Timmy Tommy Toby wasn't thinking jobs. He wasn't thinking what he had to do with his life. He wasn't thinking anything like that. He was just thinking he wanted a happy, fun time and didn't like to do homework. Mr. Nagiyoshi-san threw his hands up in the air. Said, well, I can't sit here talking to you about homework, Timmy Tommy Toby. If you don't want to do it, you're just going to have to drive your mama and your dada nuts. But you're going to have to, and you might as well learn to like it, because the more you like it, the more you'll learn, and the more you learn, the more you'll like it, and you'll find it's really, really a lot of fun, especially math. I love math. What do you think I'm doing with Squee Toy here? Oh, first of all, I got to learn it math. Well, first of all, I have to learn it to help it use all of the functions that I gave it. Then I have to help it learn how to use its special communication devices, because now I have a virtual private network with anybody if it can open up a communication network, and look, he pulled out a little control unit. He said, look at this control unit. This is my communication unit. And with this one, I can talk to Squeaky Toy anywhere he is, and he can talk to me. But he still has to learn how to do that. It's not going to come naturally. He has to learn. Oh, said 3T. If he doesn't practice it, he won't learn it. It's like you playing basketball. If you don't practice with a basketball and shoot hoops, you won't be able to get a hoop. Same thing with you with math. If you don't practice doing math, you won't be able to do math. And even if you drove a chili truck, you'd lose money from the get-go because you wouldn't know how much money you were making or not. You have to learn your math, and you have to learn to read and write well. Oh, 3T wasn't winning here. He was not happy. So you go play Timmy Tommy Toby and have a good time. I'm going to have Squeaky Toy do his homework. And he won't do your homework, but he'll do his homework, and you'll see how good he gets. Well, Timmy Tommy Toby just was, I don't believe this. He took off on his bike. Picked up Curtis and Kwame, and they went off to the basketball court and started shooting hoops. Oh, drove 3T crazy. But meanwhile, Mr. Nagiyoshi-san sat down with Squeaky Toy, and he started working with Squeaky Toy. Hayatsuri Ningyo Robot, he said, and he turned him on. Wake up now. Talk to me. Hayatsuri Ningyo Robot looked at him. Oh, my goodness. I got Sir Ninja Robot was overwhelmed because he had more circuits than he'd ever had before, and he had more ways of listening and hearing and seeing and thinking than he'd ever had before, and he was overwhelmed, and he didn't know what to do with it. He said, I don't know what to do with this. What? And Mr. Nigyoshi-san just said, it's okay. It's all right. Just stay with me here, and we're going to walk through this, and you will like it. And then we're going to train you up so that you are the best little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot ever. And so we did. He spent all day Sunday working with little Ayatsuri Ningyo robot. And when 3T came back, he said, well, is Squeaky Joy ready? Is he all done? Can he clean my room? And Mr. Nigyoshi says, No. He's going to go down again, and I got to run some more routines for him to help consolidate what he learned. And he's not cleaning your room today. You have to clean it. Oh, Professor Talltale walked in and said, oh, Timmy Tommy Tommy, you're here just in time to clean your room. And then Dr. O'Toole Talltale came in, and she said, oh, 3T, yes, I see your room's a mess. Go clean it. Oh, 3T was like, what? No, Squeaky Toy cleans my room. 3T had to go clean his room, too. Can you believe this? So he cleaned his room. His sister cleaned her room. His mother washed her own dishes. They all like Squeaky Toy doing this stuff. This wasn't fun. Well, the next day, Mr. Nigyoshi-san kept working on Squeaky Toy. Oh, he kept working and working. Hey, when's he going to be done? 3T went to school. He came back. His mom said, okay, Squeak 3T, time to do your homework. 3T said, oh, Mom, I want to go play basketball. I don't want to do homework. Mr. Nigyoshi-san took one look at him. He said, oh, really? The chili truck boy doesn't want to do his homework, huh? Oh, Timmy Tommy Toby was a little bit embarrassed. He said, well, okay, I'll do it right now, and I'll do a chop-chop and do it up. And he sat right there next to Mr. Nigyoshi-san, and he did all his homework. And you know what? It didn't take him that long, and it wasn't that hard. And when he finished, he had all that time to go play basketball. And his mother said, very good, Timmy Tommy Toby. Now you go play basketball. You did your homework. And he took off. Mr. Nigyoshi-san continued to work with Squeaky Toy. And I would tell you all the things Mr. Nigyoshi-san did, but it would take another book. All the things he did. He trained him how to do languages. He trained him how to do upper math. He trained him in his analytical, technical skills. He trained him in architectural drawing. He changed him in engineering concept. He trained him in how to run through all of the different shifts of light frequencies to see. He trained him in all the different types of frequencies of communication. Oh, it was on and on all day Monday. All day Tuesday. Squeaky 3T came out Tuesday. Are you ready? No, Squeaky Toy's not ready yet. He's got to go. Let's go. And so he worked with Squeaky Toy all day Tuesday. And meanwhile, the recovery team was driving around town looking for the robot. They didn't see them. Tuesday night came, and Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, well, I think tomorrow we can start Squeaky Toy up and see how he's doing. And maybe we'll let him do some simple things maybe we'll let him clean your room and see how well he does. See if he can go back to things he used to do. Timmy Tommy Toby said, oh, yay, I'm tired of cleaning my room. Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, have you done your homework? I don't want to do my homework. Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, I beg your pardon. Have you played basketball today? I want to go play basketball right now. Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, no. I'm working on Squeaky Toy. Sit next to me and do your homework. So 3T sat down and did his homework. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. It was like kind of simple. It was kind of like, I can do this. What am I? And he did it. Chop, chop. And he took off and played basketball. Oh, he had a good time. Mr. Nigyoshi-san finished with Squeaky Toy. He said, okay, Squeaky Toy, I'm going to run some final routines. And then in the morning, we're going to let you get up and just be normal for a day and relax. And then we'll go from there. And we'll start doing some more advanced training when we start up again. So he did. And then Wednesday morning, he turned Squeaky Toy back on and brought him up and said, hello, I am Sir Ninja Robot. How do you feel? And Squeaky Toy said, I feel great. Oh, good. I feel good. So Mr. Nigyoshi-san said, Wilson, here's what I want you to do today. You just hang out in the house and you watch things and you look at, use your eyes and see if you can do different frequencies. See if you can hear different frequencies. Run through all the system tests I told you, because you have to run through all your system tests from head to your toe and just see how things feel. And Professor Talltale and I are going to go to the university. And tomorrow, Tool Talltale said, I'm going too. I want to see my old friends at the university and we'll all have lunch. So the three of them got in the car and drove off. 3T went to school. 3T came home. Squeaky Toy had a great time. Squeaky Toy cleaned the rooms. Oh, he was so happy. He cleaned his sister's room. He washed the dishes. He talked to the microwave machine to make sure it was still working. He was just so happy. He did the laundry. He folded all the clothes. He sat down and looked outside. Oh, he was so happy. And 3T came home. Well, you know, and I know, that 3T is supposed to keep Squeaky Toy in the house. Oh, yes, indeedy. Don't let him out. But Timmy Tommy Toby was feeling great. His parents weren't here. Oh, good. I don't have to do my homework. Yeah, I'm going to go play basketball. Yeah. Yeah. And he got his basketball, put it in his bag, and put it on the side of the bike. He looked at Squeaky Toy, and he said, Squeaky Toy. Oh, Squeaky Toy, it's a great day out. Listen, why don't I just let you out for a little bit? You can come on and follow us and watch us play basketball. You can get outside. I know you'll love it. You get outside. You wander around. I'll play basketball. We'll have a good time. Okay? Squeaky Toy looked up. He said, okay. So 3T said, come on. And he opened the door, and Squeaky Toy came out, and 3T came out, and then 3T went over to pick up Curtis. He said, come on, Curtis, let's play basketball. And they both took off with their bikes, and he turned around and said, Squeaky Toy, come on, let's go. And Squeaky Toy started running behind him. Yay, and they all took off to the park. Woo, out to play basketball. Well, Squeaky Toy is running, but he was like, look at this. Look at all the, because he had all these frequencies that he could see, and he was running through them all. He hadn't learned how to reduce them down just to one at a time. He was seeing all these, he was seeing the pollen trails, he was seeing infrared, he was seeing ultraviolet, he was seeing regular colors. Wow, it was like, and he was hearing things, he was hearing, and he was running along, he heard somebody crying. Oh, he said, what's wrong? And he came to the park, right across from the toy shop. And there in the park was this young woman. She was crying. And there was an old man sitting on the bench looking at her like he was so sad. Oh, he's so sad. Squeaky Toy walked up. And the young woman looked at him and said, oh, little boy, my cat's in the tree. My cat climbed up the tree. My little persimmon is in the tree, and I can't get down. Oh, my little kitty cat, it won't come down. Squeaky Toy looked up in the tree, and he went through all of his eyesight, and he couldn't see him. He scanned. He couldn't see any infrared. Couldn't see any signs, but, you know. And then he did pick up a little infrared. Oh, there's a heat signature. Well, maybe that's the cat. Well, it wasn't the cat. It was a ninja squirrel. What do you mean? Ninja squirrels were watching everything. He said, oh. And the young woman said, oh, yeah, little boy, can you climb a tree? Can you get my kitty cat down, please? Oh, please. And the Squeaky Toy said, oh, don't cry, don't cry. And he reached into his coveralls, and you know what he did? He pulled out a handkerchief, and he gave it to the poor woman. He said, you poor girl, you just wipe your eyes. I'll get your cat down. He looked up at the tree. He started looking for a branch. He reached up to grab a branch so he could climb the tree. And up behind him came the old man. And the old man was leaning on a cane. And he said, oh, little boy, you're so good to us. Oh, you're so good to help my daughter. Oh, you're so good to help my daughter. And he picked up the cane and he put it to the back of Squeaky Toy's head. And he went, zip! Squeaky Toy dropped like a rock. Boom! Right on the ground. He was out. He was fried. Whatever had been on was off. And then the driver of the car right by the curb ran out, and he and the old man picked him up. Old man was pretty spry for an old man. Picked him up, opened the trunk, put him in the trunk, and they drove off. And that was it. And the only one that saw them was the ninja squirrel. And do you think the ninja squirrels are going to tell anybody? Bye-bye. And they were gone. And they drove back to Redsoft, to the N squared RT warehouse, which is where they delivered Ayatsuri Ningya Robot to the Redsoft engineers. Well, later on that day, Timmy Tommy Toby came pedaling in with his basketball, and his mama and dada were there, and Mr. Professor Nagiyoshi-san was there, and he walked in, and they looked at him, and they said, Timmy Tommy Toby, have you been playing basketball? Timmy Tommy Toby said, yes, I have. And they looked at him, and they said, Have you seen 3T? 3T's not here. Did you let 3T out the door? Well, Timmy Tommy Toby knew he was in trouble. 3T? Where's 3T? He figured 3T was probably out somewhere, but he was in trouble. And he said, No, 3T was here when I left. Timmy Tommy Toby, don't do this, don't tell the truth always. But no, Timmy Tommy Toby said, I don't know, I haven't seen him. I don't know where he is. Professor Nigiyoshi-san was really upset. Well, he hasn't finished his training. He's not ready to be out there. We don't know what could happen. This isn't right. Oh, he was so worried. So they had dinner. It was a very sad dinner. And Timmy Tommy Toby did his homework. He was very unhappy doing his homework, but he did his homework. And then they went to bed. And the next morning, they woke up, and there was still no squeaky toy. Oh, well, William, that is the end of today's story. Squeaky toy is captured. Timmy Tommy Toby is going to get caught in a lie. Oh, Timmy Tommy Toby, tell the truth. Mr. Nigiyoshi-san is going to be very distraught. Professor Timothy Talltale is going to be livid with anger. His mother, Tomorrow Tool Talltale, is going to be just as angry. But what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Can we let Squeaky Toy be reverse engineered for that nasty Kusumono-san? Oh, impossible. What's going to happen? Stay tuned. You'll get another chapter, and I'll tell you what happens next. So meanwhile, love you, little William. You give your sister Lauren a big hug goodnight because she's so cute, just like you were. And now you're beautiful and brave and wonderful. And you give your mama and your dada hugs because they're the most wonderful parents in the world. And I hope you have a good night's sleep. And I will tell you another story as soon as it comes into my crazy brain. Love you, William.